Sunday, December 8th, the second Sunday of Advent. First reading from Baruch, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Jerusalem, take off your robe of mourning and misery. Put on the splendor of glory from God forever. Wrapped in the cloak of justice from God, bear on your head the mitre that displays the glory of the eternal name. For God will show all the earth your splendor. You will be named by God forever, the peace of justice, the glory of God's worship. Up, Jerusalem, stand upon the heights. Look to the east and see your children gathered from the east and the west at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that they are remembered by God. Led away on foot by their enemies, they left you, but God will bring them back to you, borne aloft in glory as on royal thrones. For God has commanded that every lofty mountain be made low, and that the age-old depths and gorges be filled to level ground, that Israel may advance secure in the glory of God. The forests and every fragrant kind of tree have overshadowed Israel at God's command. For God is leading Israel in joy by the light of His glory, with His mercy and justice for company. Haydock Commentary. Regarding verse 4, you will be named by God forever the peace of justice, the glory of God's worship. Jerusalem shall be distinguished after the captivity, but still more so when Christ shall appear and give peace to His church after the ages of persecution. Regarding verse 6, led away on foot by their enemies they left you, but God will bring them back to you borne aloft in glory as on royal thrones. The return of the captives was a triumph. See Isaiah 46:20 and 49:22. They had abundance of horses, and Darius gave them a convoy of 1,000 horsemen. Second reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 4 through 6 and verses 8 through 11. Brothers and sisters, I pray always with joy in my every prayer for all of you because of your partnership for the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may increase ever more and more in knowledge and every kind of perception, to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, for the glory and praise of God. Haydock Commentary. The word partnership is used various times by St. Paul to mean a contribution of charitable alms, which it may also signify in this place, though others expound it of their being made partakers of the graces of Christ by the gospel. Regarding verse 9, that your love may increase ever more and more, it is worthy of remark that St. Paul does not beg that the Philippians may enjoy temporal blessings, but that they may be rewarded with an increase of spiritual favors, and, as he remarks in the succeeding verses, that they may be filled with the fruits of justice. The Gospel from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Haydock Commentary. To all who read, it is plain that St. John the Baptist not only preached baptism, but likewise conferred it upon many. Yet he could not give baptism to the remission of sins. When the victim was not yet immolated, how could they obtain remission of sins? So how could St. Luke say, preaching the baptism of penance for the remission of sins? The ignorant Jews, not considering the greatness of their transgressions, St. John came exhorting them to acknowledge their sins and do penance for them, that being converted and truly contrite, they might seek after their Redeemer, and thus obtain remission of their offenses. From the words in this Gospel originated an opinion that the baptism of John did remit sins, but the fallacy of this sentiment, now universally exploded, may be detected from two passages of Scripture. First, where John himself declares that he does not baptize with the Holy Ghost, and second, in Acts chapter 19, where St. Paul orders those who had only been baptized by John and had not heard of the Holy Ghost to be rebaptized. We must then conclude that St. John's baptism was only a ceremony or initiation by which they enrolled themselves as his disciples, to do penance as a preparation for the remission of sins by means of the second baptism, namely that of Christ. Every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill shall be made low. If these words in one sense were a prediction of the deliverance of the Israelites from their captivity, in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3, and an admonition to level the roads for those that were to return, they also signified the redemption of mankind from the slavery of sin, and that all obstacles which retarded this benefit should be removed, and also that the proud should be depressed, and the humble receive graces.